Thank you, Mitch. I certainly appreciate that. Appreciate you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've always wanted to preach just at Mitch, so this is my opportunity. After this day, he's fired. He is no longer. He says, I just want to preach at him and let him go, and that's it. No. No. I'm just going to read one verse here this evening. I don't think we'll be too long, but in the freshmen, I'd imagine 20 to 30 minutes with this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, looking at just one verse right here, verse number 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I do love you. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the service tonight. Lord, number one, I do pray your word would go forth and help all of us and strengthen us and help us with our walk with you. I pray this time would not be in vain. And Lord, certainly still, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, we certainly wouldn't even want a graduation to supersede something like that. Lord, so we do pray for their salvation, repentance, and faith in Christ, perhaps even this evening. And Father, but we ask your blessing now upon this time, upon your word, that it would be a help. Lord, we do pray for Brother Mitchell Butler. Lord, we thank you for his preparations and a desire to serve you. We pray that you'd guide and direct, have your blessing upon his life and upon his family's life, Lord. May he stay close to you. Lord, may he follow your direction and your leading all the days of his life. Lord, please bless now, Lord. We certainly need you. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, the Independent Baptist Bible, that started shortly after I arrived. It would have went into 1996 when the college got started. I was actually the very first graduate of the school. And again, we do have several that are out there in ministry right now. It's amazing how the Lord has used it. It takes about 8 years to finish here with how we do the courses, brother. You're right on target with that. It's not even possible to finish this in 4 years with how we do the classes with the limited timing and whatnot. And so, but a graduation, it certainly isn't. It commemorates a great accomplishment. It can be a relief when you finally get to that stage when that all that's said and done. But of course, it's not an end. It certainly is a beginning. And I remember even in regards to Mitchell, I remember when I was first here. I'd been here probably about a year. Actually, it was fairly soon, Brother Mitch. It was when we were over in the gymnasium. And we redid the pews and the carpet and all that was taking place the first July I was here, which would have been about 4 years ago. And that was probably the first inkling I saw that the Lord might be directing you even come on staff here at the church was at that time. There was a measure of faithfulness, of seriousness about it. I had to work with the butler side of the house, and still am. but there was a seriousness about it. And then, in fact, it was Sarah. Everything she was doing in the church, I had to have you on board for your wife, brother. I'm sorry, but that's all there was to it. No, but there was a seriousness in there. I remember I had him preach for me one of the times, or the Sunday school or something like that. And I thought the Lord's hand was there. And then, of course, he had to get the Bible college finished, and of course, he's accomplished that now. And what I want to do is I want to try and give some four things to you to be a help to you in ministry right now. All right, and four things to be helping any of our lives, but it certainly is directed towards Mitch. But there's not one of these four points here this morning that would not be a help to any of us in our Christian life. You know, as Paul was instructing Timothy, somebody that he had taught and trained in the ministry, he's saying, listen, you need to continue in this. You continue in the things which thou hast learned. Paul is remembering all the time and all the energy that he had to put into this. And he's saying, listen, don't you forget this. Don't you forget what's taking place and why you have it. And so there's four things here that I want to try and give to be a help to you as you finish Bible college up here. First off, understand this. You are a steward of what God has given you now. You're a steward. If we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, fact is, it's true of all of us that God has given us all a level of knowledge as we grow in his word, as we grow in grace, as we grow in whatever, even the gifts or talents or abilities that he gives us. We're steward of these things. As Jesus even talked about in a couple of the parables, we are to occupy till he comes. We're to use it right. You're not to allow the knowledge that God has given you in vain. It's not their design to puff you up. It's not their design to put on a show. It's designed to be used for the Lord and for his kingdom. And again, the Bible tells us, let me get over to, how about 1 Corinthians, I jump over there. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I should just quote it. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And I think that's an element that you have strong in your character now, and you keep up with that, and that's faithfulness. You stay with it. It's required with the stewardship, with all that you be given, that faithfulness is a part of it. Faithful with what God has given you, faithful to use those abilities and knowledge that God has given you for his cause and for his will in your life. Something that goes with faithfulness, which as you grow, you know, your family's growing now, is consistency. Consistency is a key with faithfulness and staying consistent with your walk and consistent in the things that Lord has for you. True of all of us. A lot of times we go through these ups and downs in our Christian walk because we simply lack consistency. When we feel good or there's a movement going on or an event happens in our life, we try and get things right and things organized and going with it. But then whenever that circumstance dies down or the feeling goes away, all of a sudden that level of faithfulness dies out. There's a lack of consistency with the walk. What the Lord blesses isn't, he doesn't need certain abilities and gifts and say, okay, he has this and he has this. What he looks for is a consistent, faithful walk. That's what he desires. It's not that the Lord needs any of your abilities. If you think you have a great speaking ability, a great singing voice, whatever all that is. Before the Lord, that's nothing. What he looks for is that consistent faithfulness that recognizes that you are a steward with what God has given you and say, listen, I'm going to be faithful with this and use it right and for the Lord. I remember I was talking with a gentleman, the person isn't here, anything like that. It was in a counseling session. And there were some serious issues that were going on. And so we were going over those issues. And so I immediately went back to his devotion life. I said, why don't you tell me about that? He had a lot of different knowledge about the Bible, a lot. He was not shallow with his understanding of the things of the Word of God. There was a good depth of knowledge that was there. But as we got into his devotional time and we began to develop that out, we began to see that it lacked. There was no actual walk with God when it came with the knowledge that he had. And as we went through, as we talked over the next 10 or 15 minutes, the light finally clicked on, so to speak. And which what I was sort of driving at to get him to see. And it clicked on and he recognized all this knowledge that I've gained with the Bible. I realize right now it's all for prideful reasons. And I said, you're right. I said, that's exactly right. The Lord will never honor anything like that. It's understanding that what you are with what he's given you is a steward with it for his service, a servant to use it right. And that's what you do. So number one, I want you to understand that you are a steward with it. You must put the knowledge that God has given you to use for his service. Your knowledge is not to impress, nor does it impress God for that matter. But it's how you use it and for his service. Wisdom, of course, is a key to you using your knowledge correctly. Proverbs chapter 2, there's several verses in Proverbs that deal with that. But Proverbs 2, 10 and 11, we won't turn there for time's sake, deal with that. That in order for you to use the knowledge right that you have gained. You know, you've mentioned some of the different key courses that you've taken. You just finished up, New Testament prophecy just now. I can't remember the other two courses that were being taught. But if you're going to use those courses right, and you've got to remember back, you've got 8 years of this behind you right now, from the pastoral theology course, from the homiletics courses and things like that. In order to use that knowledge right, the Bible is clear on this. It takes the wisdom of God. And that's what you got to seek for. When you get into Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 3, right now, it dives into the fact of the necessity of you begging God for that wisdom. Without that wisdom, your ability to use that knowledge correctly is just right out the window. It will become about pride. You need the wisdom of God to use the knowledge right. Number two, Deuteronomy chapter 4. The first thing is understand you are a steward. Number two, Deuteronomy chapter 4. I got a lot of favorite verses in Deuteronomy. This would probably be a top three right here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. We have, of course, the graduation service here this day, and there's one thing this day to remember. It's what verse 39 teaches you. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon earth beneath. There is none else. The key is those last few words. There is none else. That's it. There is none else. You have to know and consider that the Lord, he is God. There is none else. There's going to be times in ministry, plenty of them, right? Right now it's the easy stage, I assure you. But there's going to be times in ministry, the Lord keeps you in ministry, you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to say, I'm done with this. It's over with. I'm done. You have to know and consider the Lord. He is God. There is none else. It's what allows you to stay at it, to not quit. There is none else. Many quit because they don't consider, they forget about the fact that there is none else. There is no such thing as Mother Nature, or evolution, or Buddha, none of that nonsense. The reality is when it comes to life, there is none else. The Lord, He is God, there is none else. There is nowhere else to go. It really is what it's all about. If you decide to leave that calling and that direction in God's life, you've just entered vanity. You might have lessened the battle for your life for a time frame, but you will regret that. The day will come, you're going to regret that when you realize, wait, life was all about God. That's where He had me. Your eyes got on the wrong target. It's never about the battles that you're in. It's always about God. It's always about Him. You stay focused on that. Many times we get like the children of Israel. Look over in 1 Kings chapter 18. You can see at times what happens in your life when all of a sudden you're divided. When you're no longer convinced that the Lord, He is God, that there is none else. There is none else. We're not going to read through all of this for time's sake, but 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. And of course, we know what happens with the story there is as Elijah put forth the challenge before the prophets of Baal to demonstrate that the Lord, He is God, that there is none else, which is exactly what he demonstrates in this chapter. And he's telling the people before him, listen, how long halt you between two opinions? If you really believe that the Lord is God, that this is true, then you serve him. There is none else. You serve him. Beware of being divided between two opinions. You have to settle in your heart that it is all about God. Once you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. Number three, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at a couple of different verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Start in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now keep in mind, for illustration purposes, for this message, Timothy's done with Bible college. He's pastoring. He's in ministry. All right, that's where he's at right now. And the charge goes forth, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Jump over to verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that called on the Lord out of a pure heart. The third one, to try and put this in one group, I'd say this. You stay focused. Stay focused, brother. He's letting him know, listen, when you're in this ministry, when you're in this fight, as you're pastoring, and he put him in some tough places. He's saying, listen, number one, what you do is you study to show yourself approved unto God. You rightly divide the word of truth. He knew it was his responsibility and what he was doing with the word of God before those people. And he's saying, stay at it and stay right. And then he said, along with that, you have a whole other thing you have to garner. As he gets into verse 16, things that will pull you from that. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 22, more characterized, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, within the call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What he's trying to do is tell them, listen, you better stay focused. There's things out there that will steal your focus. You stay focused. The devil uses a lot of different things in this area, a lot. He can use a pet sin. He can use, there's so many ways. He can use stuff that's not even wrong, Mitch, to pull your focus off of God. It's true of all of us. You know, I've seen it in ministry where there's even ministries that get issue-oriented. You know what that is? That is 100% off focus. That's no longer rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a hobby horse now. That's what that becomes. It gets into those profane, even babblings that we can tie that in with. It's staying focused on what God has called you to do. You stay focused with it. Again, the devil will put things in your life to steal your focus off of his will for your life and the kingdom of God. You have to be on guard against those. Again, many things the devil will use are not wrong in and of themselves. There's so many things the devil can use. He can take all of a sudden some hobby that you enjoy, and all of a sudden that steals your focus. I remember a pastor that I knew very well. His focus got off. I knew him well, really close with him. And I was on a furlough, and I saw something completely steal his focus. A game of golf. It was all the time. It was all the time. Be careful of those things the devil will introduce to steal your focus. It could be anything, Mitch. You can all of a sudden buy a new car, and all of a sudden the devil uses that to steal your focus. It's ridiculous what I've seen the devil use in the lives of God's men to steal the focus off what's important. Stay focused. Every morning, get up and you beg God to help you stay focused on loving him and serving him. When you look at ministry, you always stay focused. It's about the will of God to help that focus. In other words, it's not about the adventure of it. It isn't. And well, you wouldn't remember this. You weren't quite here when I left for PNG. You guys were just coming back. But when I went to PNG, those that were here, I know from the Rides, Jacobs, Lowe's, that was never about an adventure to me, ever. And I mean it. I'm not saying that to show a right view. I had a right view of it. But I'm saying that there's an important principle here. It was never, okay, I've got this adventure. I'm running at it. It was never that. I didn't want to go. My wife will tell you that I didn't. I would have been content just to stay right here. I already knew plans that were in place when I was leaving before I left. I would have been content just to stay right here. But I simply knew it was God's will. It wasn't going there and all of a sudden seeing it like, oh, this is it. This is the adventure. You know what happens? The day comes when that adventure leaves you. And if you're in it for the wrong reason, all of a sudden it's easy to get, what's the word I'm looking for? Burnout. You know, it loses it. Because it was never about the will of God to begin with. It was about the adventure and using God's will as the excuse for your adventure. Don't ever do that. Again, same thing when I return. I am thrilled with the way the Lord did it. When I had made that call back to Pastor Oates, already knowing the Lord was leading us back to the States. You don't know how much that has helped me in knowing that that call from him never came first. That way, there was never a question in my mind, wait. I'm in, making sure that I'm in God's will. I knew it right from the get-go. You have to stay focused. You're a steward with what God has given you. You stay focused with what he's given you to do, and you understand that there is none else. Lastly, 1 Timothy chapter 6. This one's important, the day that we live in. You're going to face, well, I'll be honest, actually looking back over history, this has been challenging, I would say, definitely since at least the 19th century, but even maybe more so in our day right now. Let me use this verse as a springboard. This is still to Timothy, and encouragement from Paul to Timothy, a man who he had trained, who he has in ministry. He said, "O Timothy," you can see his heart right there with that, "keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." What's he driving at when he wants us committed to his trust and how he elaborated between 20 and 21? What he did not want to happen was this. He knew how he had trained him. He knew the knowledge he had given. I mean, this guy's trained by the Apostle Paul. The guy's revelations he had from God were incredible. He had that. Probably more than anybody else alive at the time, Timothy had it, and Paul knew it. What he's telling him is this: don't let it get polluted. He knew attacks were going to come in to try and change what he had learned and the knowledge he had. The devil's great at that. He's great at taking knowledge, things that you've learned of the things of God that were there to help you, and polluting it. Changing it a little bit. Making it not as effective in your life. By the way, he did that in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? He simply polluted some of the knowledge that God had given. When we look around at what's taking place with doctrinal changes and theological changes, it's simply a polluting of what God has given. Paul was afraid of that. He didn't want that to happen to Timothy. He saw from the Judaizers coming in with the paganism that was around, the Gnosticism that was arising. And he's saying, listen, don't fall for it. Stay with the knowledge you have been given. The devil is an expert at polluting or watering down the knowledge we have to it's of no effect. You can see that many times, and we are dealing with those who are converted in Christian home, not those who grew up in a Christian home and didn't leave it because they were lost. But even many times those who were converted and had the right knowledge, yet somewhere along the lines they allowed it to get polluted, changed. It affected how they viewed the Word of God. It affected how they even approached God's service. But you don't want to pollute the knowledge that God has given you. You stay away from those things that go against your faith. Be wise to that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. Avoiding those principles will allow what God has given you to become polluted. The devil knows the power that's in his word. He knows what it can do. He understands, you see, the power is, you know, when we're in ministry or teaching and preaching, it's never in and of the instructor. Paul had that down. Paul knew for this to be successful, like in Philippians 1:6, it wasn't necessary for Paul to be present. It was never about him. What was essential was the rightly dividing of the word of truth. And as that went forth, he knew what it could do. The devil knows that as well. He's always going to try and pollute it. He's always going to try and do something there to change it, to pollute what God has given you. You know, it's not an accident that the Lord had you here going through the Bible college that you did. Or the timing of it. It's not. The Lord's in control. He's sovereign. Don't think for a second the devil isn't there as well to try and pollute what God has given. He knows there's power in that. Avoid it. And this is great for even as we're rearing our children. To try and set up guards for them, that what you're giving them, you help protect them against the devil polluting what he's given. You say, well, how do I do that? You have to instill in them that they understand why they believe what they believe. That they really have the principles that are behind it. That's one of the greatest fences you can put around them. See, that's the devil. That's one of his easiest ways to pollute the knowledge they have been given. There's a basicness of the knowledge that is there, but why it's there isn't present. That's easy to pollute. That's easy to bring in some vain and unbiblical teachings and change it because a lack of understanding is present. So even as we're rearing our children, we need to make sure they understand why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. Do you understand that what we have here is truth? It isn't hard. It's not like we have to try and sometimes I wonder, you can think some of the outrageous groups, whether it's Mormonism or those that are really out there. They really have to shelter their people so much from learning actual truth because of how quickly what they have would be polluted and they're gone. Don't read that. Don't touch it. Stay away. And you're Catholic the same way. Don't take any literature. We have truth. If we will take that and instruct our children in a way that also protects them, they understand why it is. You go a long way to protecting against the devil being able to pollute that in your family. A long way. So again, stay away from those things that go against your faith. Be wise to that which is good, simple concerning that which is evil. The devil will try and come in and pollute what he has given. Don't allow him. So again, four things here tonight, Mitch, I want you to think about. Understand you're a steward with what God has given you. It's not there to puff you up. It's there to be used in His service. That's why he's done it. One thing to help you from not quitting is understand there is none else. It's all about God. You stay focused on him, which is the third one, staying focused and then not polluting what God has given you. The truth is, if we'll follow these, it'll help all of us in our service for Christ, every single one of us. Mitch, you got many years ahead of you. Stay at it and stay faithful. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask Ruth to come and prepare to play. We are going to go into a time of invitation. We're not going to stand.